Good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome everyone to Wigan Baptist Church. Few announcements, and then we'll open up our worship service with prayer. A couple of inserts in your bulletin. It's time to start collecting school supplies for the students at Wigan School, and you see there the list of items that are needed, and please bring them to church by Sunday, July the 30th. And thank you in advance for that. We do this every year, so if you can pick up a few items and bring them, we'll deliver them to school. Don't forget July 15th, next Saturday, join us and celebrate Miss Hall's 100th birthday party at the Wigan Community Center, and that'll be from 1 to 3. Also, if you have any prayer requests or anything, you'll see the insert here. You can fill that out and give it to the pastor or one of the deacons, or put it in the offering plate, and we'll make sure it gets to the appropriate place. There will be a brief meeting right after the morning service up front here, Brother Tim. Won't take but a couple of minutes. So all the men and men and young men need to meet up here for just a couple of minutes, okay? After the morning service. Brother Tim may have something else more to say about that. There's an executive committee meeting at 7 o'clock on July 11th at Baptist Center. Men's ministry is July the 20th at 6:30 p.m. That's going to be at Pine Level. July the 24th. There will be a ladies' meeting on July 24th at 7 p.m. in the fellowship hall here at the church. All ladies of all ages are invited. So please put that on your calendar. July the 30th, there will be a fifth Sunday lunch after the morning service. And August the 2nd is our annual prayer walk at Wigan School at 6:30 p.m. So we'll meet there. Do you want to meet here at the church first?
No, we can meet there.
Okay. We'll meet at the school at 6:30 p.m. to do our prayer walk, but then we'll return for a fellowship meal at 7 o'clock. So please mark your calendar for that. Whew.
Got a lot going on.
Amen. Any other announcements, y'all? Any birthdays? Miss Lorraine. Okay. Who else? They making signs behind me, y'all. That's why you do not want the choir set behind you when you preach, Brother Tim. Not on TV. Harold, come lead us in happy birthday.
Well, you can do it.
Birthday now.
All right, everybody.
Let's sing happy birthday to Lorraine and the key of G. You ready? You want to stand up? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful, Lord, for this day. We are thankful for the opportunity to gather here and worship our risen Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ today, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that even before we entered into this building here, Lord, that we have been prayerful, Lord, that we have been getting our hearts and our minds ready, Lord, to worship you, Lord. And I do just want to lift Brother Tim up to you today, Lord, as he stands before us and proclaim your word, Lord. Let it not fall on deaf ears or our unconcerned hearts, Lord. Let it sink into us, Lord. Let us not only listen to it, Lord, but let us obey it. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, this morning, if you can, please stand as we worship in song. First hymn will be 227, if you're looking in the hymnals. And I think it's going to be... Yeah, it's on the screen. 227. We'll sing all three verses. Praise Him. Praise Him.
Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus
offertory hymn this morning be hymn 210, My Jesus, I Love Thee. We'll sing first, second, and last verses.
Of sin and I resign.
fire. Just to give you that, I had 32 in Sunday school this morning, so that is praise. Thank you all. I would encourage you, if you were not here today, to get plugged into a Sunday school class, because it's, even for a pastor, it is good for me to be under the leadership of somebody pouring into my life. And it's important for you as well, because there's opportunities that you can take time to ask questions, or if you don't understand something. So I just encourage you to get plugged into Sunday school. We're trying to get classes for every age, and so just come and be a part of it. I'll invite you this morning to look at the subject of forgiveness with me. In Matthew chapter 6, we're going to begin looking in there, but we're going to look at several other passages, because I want you to realize that forgiveness for a believer is not an option. It is not an option. It is a command that we are commanded to forgive one another. As we look at this passage today, we realize in Matthew chapter 6, Wednesday night, 2 weeks ago, or two Wednesday nights ago, we looked at the Lord's Prayer. And I told our folks then, I told you then, that we weren't going to look at the last few verses that Jesus spoke in the Lord's Prayer. That we would save them for another time, and I had intended on preaching on this past Wednesday night, but when you end up with 5 pages of notes, it's hard to put it all in on Wednesday night. I'm not going to be that long, Lord willing, but if I am, don't hold it against me, because God has something to say to each one of us. And so we need to be careful to hear what the Lord wants to tell us today. Oftentimes when we hear the word forgive, we automatically think of somebody else that we know that needs to forgive somebody else. And we think that we are good, that we don't have a problem. But I guarantee you, if you really look hard in your life, there is somebody possibly that you have never forgiven. It might have been when you were a kid. It might have been when you were a teenager. It may have been in a business deal. It may have even happened in this church. I don't know. I try to learn all of you. I don't know what situations you're in, what you have been in, what you've gone through in the past. But I do know that God's word tells us that we are to forgive one another. Read with me here these two verses. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Now listen closely. This is not the words of Brother Tim. These are the words of Jesus himself. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Jesus is connecting the forgiveness that we give to others to the forgiveness that he gives to us. You say, well, Brother Tim, you don't know what they did to me. You're right, I don't. And maybe you say, well, Brother Tim, if you only knew what they did to me, you wouldn't blame me for holding a grudge. You wouldn't blame me for not forgiving them. You might can convince me. And I might agree with you as a human. But I know what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says that if I don't forgive them, I will not be forgiven. That is harsh words. So what do we need to do? Well, I'm glad you asked. I want us to think about forgiveness, and forgiveness is something I'm going to preach on quite regularly for several reasons. One is because unforgiveness seems to be a sin that sneaks up on most of us. Somebody cuts us off, somebody does us wrong. And let's even get real here this morning, because in America today, you don't even have to do anything to offend somebody. Amen? You don't have, if you look straight ahead, somebody's mad at you. If you look to the side, they're mad at you. If you look to that side, they're mad at you. If you turn around, look at some, they're mad at you then. Amen? If you go 60 miles an hour, somebody's mad at you. If you go 65, they're mad at you. If you go 55, somebody's hollering at you, blowing horn. Get out of the way. You were the one that was blowing horn, wasn't you? Here's the thing. We can become so focused on what somebody did against me or what they did against you, and we fail to realize how many times we have sinned against God. Sin is sneaky, because sometimes we feel like they need to forgive somebody. Somebody else needs to be here this morning, because we know somebody that's going through a hard time, whether it's through their marriage, through the children, through family events, whatever. Somebody needs to hear this, and we think that they need to hear, but we don't. Can I tell you that this does not happen just in one place in the New Testament. It is a theme that runs throughout the New Testament. Sin is, the sin of unforgiveness is sneaky. But it is also a sin that is probably more common. Because if I were to ask you, and I hope this would be true, that we haven't committed adultery, that nobody here has murdered somebody. I hope you're not a thief, or, you know, do people wrong on purpose or treat people badly. I hope those are not characteristics of a Christian. But can I tell you that if we don't forgive somebody, because that sneaks in, right? It is common, because sometimes we don't even realize that we have not forgiven that person till maybe weeks or months or years down the road. Can I tell you, though, another reason I'm going to preach on forgiveness quite regularly is because it is a very serious sin. It is a very serious sin. It has severe consequences to it. If we just listen to the words that Jesus speaks here in these two verses, he says that we are to forgive others, and if we don't forgive others, then neither will our sins be forgiven. Now, if that is the case, for the believer to say that I'm not going to forgive somebody for what they did to me, man, that's harsh. Knowing that Jesus has forgiven us all of our sins, how can we then turn around and tell somebody else or believe in our heart that it is okay for me not to forgive another person? Somebody has once said that unforgiveness is like a cancer to the soul. It eats you alive. It eats you from the inside out. And you know what I'm talking about, amen? Because I'm pretty sure all of us have dealt with it at some time and place. Maybe you're dealing with it even now as I speak. No matter what they did, the choice to forgive is up to you. You can choose to forgive, or you can choose not to forgive. But it is a commandment that we forgive one another. Many times we think, well, it's my choice, I don't have to. Here again, you're going to tell me you don't know what I've been through. I don't. But Jesus does know. He knows everything you've gone through in the past. He knows everything you're going through right now. And he knows everything you're going to go through tomorrow. So if he tells us to forgive anyhow, what are we supposed to do? We are to forgive. Well, I want us to look at several passages this morning. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13, I want you to look at this with me. This is what Paul writes here. He says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. Paul wrote about it. So here again, as Christ has forgiven me as a believer, I am then to turn around and to forgive others. Because if you think about the characteristics of God the Father and Jesus Christ, two of the things that are the greatest characteristics is, number one, God is a giving God. God is a giving God, but God is also a forgiving God. And if we are going to say that I want to be like God, I want to be like Christ, I want to be like Jesus did, then number one, I have to give forgiveness. I have to be able to give forgiveness to even say that I'm in the ballpark with Christ. I can't be called a Christian unless I'm willing to forgive like Christ has forgiven me. The next passage on the board, Ephesians 4:32, says to be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ did what? Forgave you. You see, there's the connection between as I am being forgiven, I am also to forgive others, no matter what it is or what they've done. In Luke chapter 11, verse 4, the first part of that verse says, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. In other words, everyone who has sinned against us. Some of Jesus' words are even more condemning. In Mark chapter 11, verse 25, listen to what Jesus says. He says, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. You see the connection? As God forgives me, I forgive others. And as I forgive others, God forgives me. You see, it's almost like a circle. It comes around and goes around. In verse 26 of that same passage, Mark chapter 11, says, but if I do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Here again, same thing. In Luke chapter 6, verses 37 and 38, listen to what it said here. Judge not, you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be what? Forgive. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be added to into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be what? Man. The reality, man. Do you understand? Do we understand? Because I'm putting myself in the same. I've known people who've held grudges for 40, 50 years. If you talk to them about something that happened back in high school, you know they still got a grumble, they still got a complaint, they still got something that happened because they have not turned it loose. They have not turned it over to the Lord. What if, listen here now, and I want to be careful. What if we stand before the Lord one day and say, you know, you could have made it into heaven if you would have simply forgiven. Do we understand the love of God? Do we understand the forgiveness that God has given to us? Because I, you know, as much as we've done against God, and if he's willing to forgive us, why aren't we willing to forgive somebody else for what they've done to us? And if I don't understand the forgiveness that I've been given, then I must not truly understand and know God the Father to begin with. As you can see, The New Testament's full of forgiveness. We should be people who forgive because we should desire to be like our forgiving Father in heaven. We should be willing to forgive others because we realize how much we have been forgiven of ourselves. We should realize that forgiving others is better for our souls. How many of you growing up had a vegetable that you hated eating?
Still do.
You still do, don't you? What did your parents always tell you, especially your mama? Daddy probably didn't care because he didn't like it either. He just went ahead and ate it because mama said it, right? Here's what happens. We tell our kids, and we did the same thing with ours, that it's good for you. Now, I like Brussels sprouts, and I know I can already see I don't want them every day. I don't want them every week. I don't even want them every month, but I want them every once in a while, amen? And if they're roasted in garlic and blackened in a frying pan, they're not good for you, but you eat them anyhow, right? But by the time you put all that stuff on, we know they're not good for you. But here's the thing. We tell our kids, and we told ours, eat it because it's what?
Good for you.
It's good for you. It's good for you. And you know the same thing is true about forgiving others. It's good for you. Just like eating our vegetables, it's going to make our brains work better, our eyesight work better if it's orange. You know, they say, I think that's just a trick to make you eat them. But here's the thing. We tell our kids that this is good for you. It's good for your mind, your body, your soul, everything about you, circulatory system. But you know, forgiving others does the same thing for you. It's better for your mind. It's better for your heart. It's better for your soul. It's better for your system. Because sometimes we get so full of unforgiveness and holding grudges against people that we can't even breathe. We can't live life because we're always stuck in the past. We can't move forward in our relationship with others, and we can't move forward in our relationship with God because we're still stuck in the past. We're still hanging on to whatever happened to us. And we're not willing. I'm not saying to forget it, because God has so made the human mind that you cannot forget. But you can forgive. And it's a choice that we have to make. And if it wasn't a choice, then we wouldn't have been told so many times in the New Testament to do it. I'm going to ask you if you will to turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18. We're going to read this in my next 4 points, and I'll be quick, I promise. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he has just dealt with how to deal with a sinning brother. This is something that we need to understand too. This is a whole other message for a whole other time. But Jesus has been talking about dealing with somebody who has sinned against you and how to go about correcting them, especially in the body of believers. But here in the parable of the unforgiving servant, listen to what is being said here in Matthew 18, verse 21. It says, "And Peter came to him," meaning Jesus, "and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times. Now, let's just set the stage here for just a moment before we read the rest of this. In Jewish tradition, if somebody sinned against you 3 times, they were out. Just like 3 strikes in the ball game. After the 3rd time, you did not have to forgive them. That's what Jewish tradition held. So Peter, when he comes to Jesus and asks him, Lord, how many times should I forgive somebody who sins against me? Peter wasn't taking the low road. He was taking the high road, because that's more than double what the law said to forgive. Well, let's read on. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe me. So this fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went through him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. And his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the tortures until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Wow. Do you think Jesus mixes up his words? Do you think Jesus wastes his words? I don't. Do you think Jesus meant what he said? I do. Is Jesus just necessarily talking about money debt that was owed? No. It was a sin that had committed. And when this man that had 10,000, he owed a debt he could never, ever pay off. He couldn't pay it off. His wife was sold into slavery too, and his children were sold into slavery. And everything he had was sold into slavery. And it still was not enough to pay his sin debt against the master, who is God. Can you ever pay off your sin debt to God? So we need a Savior. We need a Savior. Jesus forgave us our sins. And as he forgives our sins, we are the servant who went out. And we're going to grab our fellow man by the throat and shake him and say, you're going to pay me everything you owe me. I'm going to make you pay back for what you did to me. I'm going to get even with you. You're going to pay the price. We are just like this other servant when we do not forgive others of their sin. In Matthew chapter 18, here verse 27. Listen to what happens here, because forgiveness brings freedom. That's my first point. I'm finally on my first point this morning. Amen. Forgiveness brings freedom. Listen to here. It says in verse 27, then the master of that servant was moved with compassion and did what? Released him. When you release somebody from prison, they are free. Here's the reality. When we refuse to forgive somebody, it is just as if we have them locked in prison. It's just as if we have them locked in prison. But the reality is, half the time they don't even know that they're in prison. You know why? Because they don't even know they've sinned against you. That's why the preceding verses in chapter 18 are so important. We are to go to them and tell them first. Let them know. But here's the thing, when we keep them in prison, who has to stand guard? Because every prison I know of, you don't just have prisoners, you have to have somebody there to watch them. And if we have kept this person locked in the jail or the prison of unforgiveness, then you're the one who has to spend the rest of your life standing there keeping them in there. You have the key in your hand to let them go, and all you have to do is simply turn that key by forgiving them of their sin against you and freeing them. And when you free them, you also free yourself. But it's a choice. Forgiveness brings freedom, but unforgiveness brings bitterness. Bitterness, if it's left unchecked, begins to fester into resentment. Resentment will sooner or later turn into what? Hatred. You know how I know? You know how I know that to be true? I'm not judging anybody, but if you've ever seen somebody go through a divorce, they go from love to unforgiveness to bitterness to resentment to hatred, and then eventually it'll be to malice or maybe even murder. You understand what I'm saying there? You see, we have to forgive. It doesn't matter what happened. We have to forgive so that we can be forgiven. Forgiveness also, well, there's one other verse I want to look up here in 1 John, because we've got to be careful of unforgiveness, because as I've already stated, unforgiveness leads to hatred. It leads to hatred. Listen to what 1 John chapter 2 in verse 9 through 11 says. And this is telltale now. It says, he who says he is in the light, in other words, he who says he's been illuminated by the presence of God in their life, he who says he's in the light and hates his brother is in what? In darkness. What does that mean? You're still being controlled by Satan. You're still walking in the dark. The truth hasn't been revealed to you. It is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. You see, it is important for us to forgive one another, so that as we forgive, we will be forgiven. Point number two, forgiveness brings closure. You ever thought about it that way? Forgiveness brings closure. When you forgive somebody of their sins against you, it's just like a weight has lifted off you. That prison door has flung open. You're not having to stand guard. You've let them free now. You're free. You're not free just to do what you want, but you're free from your past so that you can move forward in Christ. As I mentioned earlier, forgiving does not mean forgetting. We need to understand that. But here's the thing, because as I forgive, y'all hear me out on this, as I forgive, do I have to do it just once? All right. When Jesus said 70 times 7, we have to understand that number. 7 is a number of completion, right? It is a number of perfectness. In other words, it is continual. So what Jesus was just saying was not just say, forgive them up to 490 times. He's saying to keep on forgiving them no matter how many times they sin against you. Because how many times do we sin against God? Now, as I think about this, I think about how when I forgive somebody, it brings closure. I'm free to move forward in Christ. I'm free to do the things he wants me to do. But when I do not forgive, I I'm stuck. Stuck in the past. I need to forgive time and time again. And as I continue to forgive that person, and I kind of, y'all noticed I kind of slipped up there. If I forgive that person, tomorrow I may have to forgive them again. Because if y'all ever done that, you say, well, I'm going to move on past this, and then next time you think of that person, you've got them right back in prison, and you find yourself having to keep them in there in that prison again. Sometimes we have to remember the past. We have to remember the hurt. We have to remember what happened and what they did to us so that we can come back to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. Help me forgive them. You see, we need to ask the Lord for the strength to continue to keep giving them the same forgiveness that He gives to us. I let this out of the bag, men go. Forgiveness is a choice. We have a choice. You have a choice each and every time that thought of that person that keeps popping up in your mind that has been having you trapped in your past for so long. When they come into your heart and your mind, you have a choice and you have to forgive. It is not an option. Is it easy? No. It's not easy. Is it possible? Yes, it is possible. We have to ask God to help us with forgiveness. It is not a natural human activity. We have to forgive. Fourth point, simply this. Freedom gives life. Freedom gives life. I'm going to look at a verse with you that up until this past week, I don't think I've ever looked at it this way. But in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13, listen to what Paul writes here. He says, and you being dead in your trespasses, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He, meaning God, has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all, what? All trespasses. As I look at that verse, I look at this because as sinners, we are dead. Ephesians chapter 2, it's not on the board, but Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that we're dead in our trespasses and sin. And until the breath of God breathes into us and saves us and renews us, regenerates us, and gives us new life and a new birth and a new standing before the Lord and forgiveness of our sins. But it says here, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you. You see, when we come to the Lord and realize that we are sinners in need of a Savior, and we ask Him, just like the servant did here to the master who couldn't pay the 10,000 talents. We come before Him and we beg Him, Lord, forgive me of my sins. And what does He do?
Forgives us.
He forgives us. And as He forgives us, we are then to turn around and forgive others in that same situation, that same standing. He gives us life. He gives us life. And when you forgive somebody else, you not only forgive them and you give them life, but you also give life to yourself, because as long as you're locked up in a jail cell with them, how in the world can you live? How can you live for yourself? How can you live for the Lord if you're steady hanging on to the past and holding on to what happened to you? You see, we need to learn to forgive. We need to learn to forgive. But here's what I know too. There's somebody here today who's never asked the Lord to forgive them of their sins. They're still stuck in their sins. They're still stuck in their past because they haven't been forgiven. They don't know what it means to be forgiven because they've never put their faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone for salvation. And today, during the invitation, you need to come forward and say, "Brother Tim, I want to know how I can be saved." Here's the other thing I know. There are people here today who are truly saved, but you are stuck in the past because you're hanging on to somebody. You're hanging on to the key, and you're keeping somebody in prison. And today, you just simply need to say, "Lord, I need to forgive them." Maybe you need to pray and ask God to give you the strength. But you need to forgive them of their sins against you. You need to set them free and at the same time set yourself free. Because you can't move on into the future if you're stuck in the past. This church can't move into the future if it's stuck in the past. Amen. No matter what situation, if we are not willing to forgive, we are stuck in prison with the ones we're hanging in, holding on to in there with us. How about today, let Christ free you from that? Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, as we, on this time invitation, Lord, I don't know what your folks have been through. Well, not every situation. Lord, you know who they are, you know what they've been through, you know what they're going through. Lord, your word has told us that we need to forgive. Lord, sometimes that's so hard to do because of the pain that we have been put through. And Lord, from a human standpoint, it seems to be the perfect thing for us to do. But Lord, you have told us to forgive, Lord, and to be set free from that weight that holds us back, keeps us from running the race, Lord, that you have laid out before us. So, Lord, today, I don't know who you're talking to. I don't know what they're dealing with. But Lord, I know you are the one who offers forgiveness. You offer salvation. Lord, to all who call upon your name. Lord, I also believe that there are folks here today who simply need to let go of the past. Lord, not that they're going to forget about it, but that, Lord, you will give them the strength and opportunity to forgive. So, Lord, I pray that you'd have your way in our hearts and lives. Lord, may we glorify you in the decisions we make today. And we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah, 3:12.